Welcome to the B2B Influence Spotlight on Industry Game Changers podcast. I'm Paula Keoki, founder and CEO of Outward Media. Outward Media is a trusted data partner to Fortune 2000 businesses and startups alike. We provide the highest quality audience data to fuel engaged, integrated, omnichannel campaigns. Our mission is to deliver real data, real results, and invaluable reach to real people. Welcome, everyone. This is Paula Keoki. I'm the CEO of Outward Media, and this is our monthly podcast. Actually, we do one a week for people that are influencing in the B2B marketing space. Today, we're fortunate to have, from Backstory, Jed Morley. Welcome, Jed.
Great to be with you, Paula.
Thank you. And Jed has a strong ability to be able to take people from relatively modest income, escalate it to six-figure income, fairly quickly, I guess you would say, right?
That's right. We specialize in helping growth stage companies multiply their value so they can maximize their exits.
Yep. Oh, that's what they all want to hear. All CEOs want to hear that, right?
That's right. That's exactly right. So if you have between 5 and 50 million,
okay,
and you're looking to get to that next level of growth, we have a systematic way of accelerating through alignment of your internal and external brand. And it blends the best of brand marketing and performance marketing.
Do you want to expound on that a little bit?
Sometimes people make the mistake of thinking it's either or. Either you can drive performance with heavy focus and emphasis on lead gen and demand gen, or building your brand. Mm-hmm. And rather than saying either or, we like to combine the two and say and. Mm-hmm. It's the combination and blend of both that our brand wheel process facilitates. And that's the focus of our new book, Building a Brand That Scales.
Okay. And where can they find the book? Is that on Amazon?
It's on Amazon, okay. Anywhere books are sold, but Amazon in particular.
But when we were talking before we got started, you mentioned that you do a complimentary, let's just get that in there now. You mentioned that you do a complimentary brand assessment.
That's right.
I believe that's available at your website to take a look at. Do you want to tell us about how that works?
Yes, we found that leaders and teams benefit from having a shared understanding and a visual representation of the current state of their brand. Mm-hmm. So the Backstory Brand Wheel Assessment provides teams with an opportunity to come together and self-assess on their readiness to scale their brand. And what that means is you fill out a 24-question survey and you get a color-coded result that shows you where your brand is clear in green, being defined in yellow, and not yet defined in red. The goal is to move everything to green and to keep it that way over time so that you can bring your brand to market at scale with clarity and consistency.
Excellent. Excellent. So let's dive in here. What's the biggest shift you've seen recently in how B2B companies approach brand strategy? And how has that influenced how you guide your clients?
The biggest shift we've seen in the way that B2B brands are going to market with brand strategy is to appreciate the need for both brand messaging at the company level and audience-specific messaging. An analogy we like to use is that when you're thinking of brand or company messaging, it's like the keynote speaker at a conference. Keynote speakers get paid the big bucks because they have to say something of interest and relevance to everyone in attendance at the show. And after the keynote speaker is finished addressing the audience, we go into breakout sessions at a conference. And those breakout sessions are analogous to audience-specific messaging, where we tune and tailor the message to the specific interests, pain points, use cases and jobs to be done of a market segment, a group of customers who buy for the same reasons and talk to one another. Yep. So it's the combination of the two where you combine overarching value propositions and strategic brand narratives that frame the problem that you solve, the criteria for solving it that lead to your solution, not with it. And then the audience specific messaging progresses people further down the funnel by talking about their unique and specific pain points.
I have attended those kind of conferences. It's more valuable to go that way.
It is. And again, it's the combination of the two that makes it really powerful. We were fortunate to work with Lucid Software a few years ago when Dave Groh was trying to take the company to enterprise licenses.
Okay.
He realized that the company needed to be able to articulate the value of their software as a service to every department across large organizations. They had previously been selling one-off licenses to individuals who had discovered Lucidchart on their own. And while that had gotten the company to a certain level of performance, to get to that next level, they were going to have to sell enterprise licenses. To be able to do that, they need to be able to articulate the value specifically to each department of a large organization. He conducted a series of in-depth interviews to unlock and crack the code on why people buy Lucidchart. So now, when you go to the company's website in their solutions tab, messaging that is specific to operations people, to IT people, to software engineers, to operations and human resources and marketing teams,
Speaking their language.
speaking their language. And the beauty of this process that we guide clients through is that you co-create the messaging. You ask customers what they see as being relevant and why, and reflect that messaging back to them. And they are very much a part of the creative development process. It compresses the time it takes to find resonance. We call it message market fit.
Okay.
So many of us are familiar with product market fit, and that's essential. But on the other side of that same coin is message market fit, where you tune the messaging to find what resonates. So the homepage of Lucidchart's website is that overarching keynote address type messaging. It's broad. It's meant to be inclusive of all the audiences all at once. And then under the solutions tab, audience specific messaging. And this is best practices for B2B marketing today.
That's a huge shift in from what they were doing. I would imagine that their sales increased exponentially after that.
They did. At
That
the time we were working together, they had 10 million customers. Now they have over 60 million customers.
Wow.
So the growth in the time since we worked with them has been dramatic. They've expanded their product portfolio. And this is the S-curve growth pattern we see so many companies are intent on. You have an initial success, you build traction with one audience and one offering. Growth demands that you find other audiences to serve, and you expand your product portfolio to include other solutions to other customers' problems. And then you have a story that is lagged behind the product offering. And to reconcile that, you've got to have a systematic way of building a brand that scales. And that's where the backstory brand wheel framework comes into focus, like we talked about with the assessment.
That's interesting, Jed. You and I, being in the marketing space, we get that, but it's interesting how many companies doing well, but they don't understand that, they don't get it. So teaching them that or coaching them in that manner is huge, because when we build audiences for marketing campaigns for our clients, the messaging, it can be to millennial, it can be to, what is it, Gen Z, and everything, plus the product, basing the product to that audience, how they receive information as well. And it's huge. And there's so many different factors that come into play that I think a lot of companies, even though they're doing really well, don't really understand
You're
that. Too
exactly right.
bad that I would imagine you probably weren't getting paid per sale, but that would have been great.
That would have been great. We do participate in an equity way with companies that are younger in their journeys. And so if they are not in a position to be able to pay entirely cash, then we do some kind of a blended mix of cash and equity.
That's even better. So they can scale them faster, even though they don't have the money.
That's right.
Okay, so you often emphasize the alignment of brand culture with external messaging. How do you help companies codify that internally? And what role does the leadership play in that process? Is this what we were just talking about, basically?
The leadership has to be bought in. And if they are aligned amongst themselves, it goes a long way to creating confidence that this isn't yet another culture initiative of the day, but it's a serious commitment to building a brand that has authenticity. And that authenticity creates connection with employees and with customers. As a case in point, we worked with Bamboo HR when they had just 30 employees. And now they have over 1,300. They're doing over 100 million in annual recurring revenue. So they're a B2B brand. They sell human resources information software and systems, so HRIS systems and solutions. And the way that they've been able to grow over the last 10 years into that unicorn level of success is by retaining top talent. The way they did that was by living their brand inside the company. So rather than just saying, "We set people free to do great work," which is the brand purpose I helped the founders, Ben Peterson and Ryan Sanders, articulate. They actually lived that inside the company culture. And as a result, they were able to build capable people and retain them. And that institutional knowledge and that continuity in top talent made all the difference. It allowed the company to scale the culture along with the products. And that's why they've been a runaway success.
And that's part of what what you're talking about as relates to authenticity. So
Exactly. And articulating what your values are and then living them. At its essence, branding is the process of making and keeping a meaningful promise, and that includes keeping a promise to your employees.
and I think never more than today has it been more important, I think.
I agree. And to Ben and Ryan's credit, they would do things that were counterintuitive. Normally, at a startup, you're told that you need to be ready to work long hours and weekends. And they said the opposite. They said, we don't want you working overtime. We want you to spend time with family and friends. We want you to be able to renew and relax. So they discouraged people from working late and working on weekends. They also insisted that people take vacation. In fact, the company provided a benefit where they helped to pay for your vacation. And if you didn't take vacation, it was not seen as a badge of loyalty. It was seen as being off brand because Ryan and Ben knew that people burn out if they don't take time off. So by growing a little more slowly, they were able to retain and have a connected culture. And that ultimately translated into better relationships with customers because the
Absolutely.
people who were part of Bamboo HR really believed in the brand. And
And
that confidence,
they
it
communicated.
totally communicated. That confidence transmitted to their customer conversations, and then it became contagious, and the brand blew up from there.
And buyers, they're not stupid. They can feel it. As you mentioned, the authenticity that they care, how they represent the company. And to build that kind of culture is not easy.
It isn't. And so it's one thing to articulate values. It's another thing to live them. And when you get that alignment between what you say and what you do, that's when the breakthroughs happen.
So you must be really well liked
It's
at these companies.
fun to help people articulate what's inside of them. I think that's our gift. That's our superpower at Backstory, is being able to uncover insights into what really drives founders and leaders. And being able to put that into words helps people know how to recreate the magic. If you have a recipe for success, but it's a pinch of this and a dash of that, it's difficult to duplicate when the team expands beyond the founders and the founding team. The work we do is all about codifying the culture, articulating and clarifying the purpose, the promise, the position, the pillars, so that more people can successfully and effectively communicate on behalf of the business and brand. And that's what it means to scale, is to be able to get a story that everybody can align around and consistently communicate.
And then the fact that you mentioned that people stay longer within the company, that says it's all resonating.
Exactly. And that resonance is really the magic of great brands. I think it's one thing to recognize it in other brands. It's another thing to try to create it deliberately and systematically when it's your turn to be in charge of that brand building effort. Something that I'm sure you can appreciate, Paula, is that branding is everyone's responsibility because it's really about identifying and defining the right images, words, and experiences that close the gap between your current and your desired perception. We call that P1 and P2. A brand strategy closes the gap between the two with the right words, images, and experiences. And that means it's everybody's responsibility to be a brand ambassador.
It is. It's absolutely everybody's it needs to be communicated to the employees. And you and I both know that a brand can be ruined like that,
It
depending
really
on the situation or circumstances. And you look at the Fortune 2000, because we're fortunate enough to work with a number of them, they protect the brand big time.
they do. And we know from experience, Paula, that a brand is more than a logo. It's the perception someone has of a particular person, place, thing, or idea. And we ultimately don't own our brands. The perception customers have of the brand is ultimately who owns it. So we can shape and influence that perception with the right words, images, and experiences, but it's up to the customers ultimately to decide what our brand stands for. So we have to be really clear about what we want that perception to be and then align our behaviors consistent with it.
It seems like you're probably across the board in the C-suite, right? Getting everybody aligned.
Absolutely. And that process that we take the C-suite through is data-driven, and that gives them confidence. And it helps to quell the debate, the divisiveness that sometimes occurs between different divisions. If client success has a different opinion about what they think is going to resonate than marketing and sales, sometimes you get some infighting, and that friction can cause relationships to fall apart. And that translates into noise and incongruent conversations to customers. Whereas if we can get data to support the recommendations of where to take the brand and to drive the messaging, then it gives everyone confidence to set aside their personal opinion and adopt a shared story, a single source of truth that creates a unified, cohesive, coherent conversation with customers. And that helps to set expectations that the brand and the product reality can fulfill, which leads to better retention and loyalty long term.
So, do you typically meet with the different departments, and is it like a research base? Is it research base? You go and get their input and then come back and present what the findings are across the different divisions or
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. There's a case study we love to reference specifically for this reason. Brad Caldwell is the founder and CEO of Security Metrics. They're a cybersecurity company, 25-year-old company. They were growing around 6% when we started working with them. And Brad was happy to report recently they're now growing at 22, 23%. And the reason for that was we took time to interview leaders from each functional area within the company to find out what they thought the perception of the brand was and what they would like it to be. And then we went outside the company and talked with dozens of customers and partners to find out how they perceive the brand. We looked for places where there was alignment. We looked for gaps. And then we recommended a brand strategy to fill those gaps with the right words, images, and experiences. And because everybody had participated in the process, it allowed them to feel confident buying into our recommendations. We back up our recommendations with verbatim quotes from what the internal leaders said across departments, combined with what customers and partners said. And it's pretty hard to deny the data. So the thing that was helpful for Brad as the leader is to say, we're going this direction, and don't just take my word for it. Let's look at the set of data, the robust data set that Backstory provided to guide our decision-making process. So everyone was able to align behind the data because they could see that we could substantiate and support the new direction. It wasn't just opinion.
So, what does a typical engagement look like for you all in terms of start to finish, or do you have a is it a year, 6 months? How long does it usually take you to
The time it
get?
takes to get to that unlock, and what I mean by the unlock is a reframe of the value. What is the real value that the company is providing? That unlock requires that we do a brand audit to understand the current state of marketing and communications across the different customer touch points, a competitive analysis to understand the market landscape and where the client company fits in to that context in that picture, and the in-depth interviews of the internal team and the external customers and partners. That entire process typically takes around 3 months to
Okay,
complete.
that's pretty quick.
And then we build out a messaging framework with audience and offering messaging, combined with a strategic brand narrative and company overview, including your elevator pitch, your about us statement, and one pager. As part of that process, we frame the strategic narrative where we help people understand how the world has changed and why it's imperative that they adopt a new way of doing things. And we quantify the cost of not making that change so that they can appreciate the need to do something different to remain relevant and successful in the future. In the case of Security Metrics, we were able to articulate a single value proposition. We call that the overarching value that a company delivers. It's your brand promise. And that is never have a false sense of security.
I like that.
And the beauty of that was it was a shared single point of entry for every conversation that sales and marketing folks were having with customers, product support, account management, from big banks to card issuers like Visa and MasterCard, and even merchants, mom and pop shops that take credit card payment on Square devices and other forms of payment. And it gave a unity to the story that had never been part of the picture. It took 30 minutes to tell the story. We were able to get it down to 30 seconds and bring it into different levels of detail depending on where a customer was on their buyer journey. But the thing that made it successful was the buy-in that resulted from the participation through the brand discovery process and the data-driven recommendations that resulted from it.
And then do you, after you get to that level, do you guys, do you, your company and you, do you help them execute, or do you give them the tools and the things to help them execute?
We do help our client companies activate the brand strategies and stories that we create on their behalf in collaboration with their internal teams, as well as other specialist marketing consultancies that have skills that complement what we do. In the case of Security Metrics, Brad Caldwell was the CEO. His head of marketing, John Clark, was leading the way of bringing that new story and strategy to market in collaboration. In close collaboration with his sales counterparts. And that alignment made all the difference. So, depending on the client's capabilities and resources, we can augment whatever they lack. And we have a roster of partners who have specialties that complement their skill sets and allow us to lean into that performance part of marketing, which is the outer ring of the wheel. The inner two circles are strategy and story. And then we take that strategy and story to market on the outer ring, which is performance-based marketing.
So depending on the outcomes, you can pull in this team, that team of experts to complement. That's awesome. So my question is, where do we send them to take your brand assessment?
Backstorybranding.com is our URL, and the brand assessment is complimentary. It takes 5, 10 minutes to fill out. The only thing I would ask is that folks get together as a team to have a shared response so that you can have an assessment that's meaningful to a variety of folks who will be participating in the development of the new brand strategy and story going forward. Then you can see your progress over time as you start to turn different elements of the brand wheel green, signaling that you're ready to go to market at scale.
Yeah, that's critical. It's critical. This has been awesome. I learned a lot today, and I really appreciate your time and joining us.
My pleasure. Thanks for the opportunity.
Thank you. Hi, I'm Paula Keoki, and thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, share it on social media, and don't forget to rate or review the podcast wherever you listen. Your feedback helps us grow and inspire others. If you're a successful business leader or marketing professional with insights to share, we'd love to feature you as a guest. Visit outwardmedia.com/podcast to learn more. Make sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode and connect with us on social media to join the conversation. Visit outwardmedia.com to explore how we can help take your strategic audience building to the next level. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next time.